All right, we're going to talk some more about what we talked about last night, about confession. As we remember, the word for confession, there's only one word in both Hebrew and in Greek. In Hebrew, it's yadha. And in Greek, it's homologio. And it means both kinds of confession, the confession of faith, but it's also the confession of sin and trespass. That's why the whole thing started in the James issue, it's James 5, but it says if you confess your faults one to another, and you shall be healed. But the question is, as you remember, the purpose of a Seder is manifold, but one of the main purposes is confession. So there is an opportunity to confess your sin, trespass, fault in an arena that's you believe is safe, because one of the important issues regarding confession is once you hear it in a Seder group, you cannot talk about it. It's almost like being in a grand jury. You can't talk about it. There's no talking about it within the fellowship, and it has to be held as sacrosanct, as sacred. The second is that during a confession, there can be nobody's ideas of what they should do about it. Normally when you have these kind of environments and everybody has an opinion and a how-to, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to provide a confession. And yet, no matter what it is, they're still accepted if there's repentance. And this is those two issues about it being sacrosanct and held sacred and silent about it outside that body. And the second is there's maybe more than that. But anyway, the second one is there's no sitting around telling everybody, giving their opinion about it. It's one of the most sacred rites, if not the most sacred rite in Christianity. Now, for me, my confession is always about doing something about something, namely finances. And so rather than empty myself and wait on God, my mind convinces me that there is a need for me to do something about it. Even though over the years, all my attempts at fundraising have failed. I can't do it anymore. I used to be an expert at it, which is just crazy. And it's this whole issue about we have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. And one of John's songs says, and we reveal this mystery as we're broken each day. Our mind loves to think that we are in God's will when He causes us to have some kind of a victory over an issue or a success in something that we're doing. I want us to read a couple of scriptures to disabuse this idea. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. No, let's, before we do that, I want to go to Ephesians first. Verse 11, chapter 4. We're in fours today. Chapter Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as we've talked about before, you may have forgotten that where it says some in each of the cases, it's not, some isn't in the text. He said he gave, in a sense, first apostle, then evangelist. I mean, first apostle, then prophet, then evangelist, and then pastor and teacher. And that's the role of a dying seed. The apostle falls into the ground and dies, and the apostle is the head of any Seder group. Then, because he believes, he has to speak, so he speaks. So he's, in that case, he's a prophet, but not a prophet of telling the future, a prophet of forthtelling, not foretelling. And then he is an evangelist, because people hear. But then he's both pastor and teacher, because that's the role. That's how each Seder group is manifested. And that's why what it means when it says if the seed falleth into the ground and he bears fruit, some tenfold, some, or some, what is it, 30, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, that's the reproduction process. That's what happens when you, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now, the reason under Jewish, I don't know if it's in the Torah or not, but under Jewish, it's still that way. It's not a community until there's 120 people. And that's why it can be then considered a separate community when there are 120. But the apostle role and the apostle role is the people that are hearing, it's a matter of being a living example of what the word is. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4. Does anybody want to talk about anything I've just said?
It's hard to argue with Paul.
the verse 11 where it says he gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, seems like that's worded vaguely enough to where that could be the same person or different people, either way.
Well, I just... It's,
I mean, you're saying it's the same person in many cases, which I agree with.
But. Yeah, but I'm not giving that exclusive. I'm saying that's the way a church is formed. Now that, well, anyway, let's talk. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, we better start earlier, because otherwise we won't know what these things are. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self.
Can you stop for a second? I thought you said 1 Corinthians 4:6.
I did, and I said we have to start up earlier so that we know what he's talking about. I know nothing in verse 4, for I know nothing by myself or of myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord appears, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have a figure, and that's why we studied it, because of these things. Okay? I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from one another? From another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, that you did something yourself instead of being it received from God. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. The word spectacle there just means we are, it's the word for you are an illustration. I mean, if you're an illustration, you have to be an illustration of something. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. That's not a very exciting thing to happen to you, to be made a spectacle. And the people that he ministered to were rich and wise, and he was the offscouring of all things. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. And that's the reason I'm saying that is that's the apostle position. 2 Corinthians 4.
You are doing a lot of fours.
That's what I know. Let's start in verse 1. But first, in chapter 3, remember, it's talking about the veil that's over men's hearts and minds. So they can't hear, they can't see this mystery, therefore they can't confess. Not in true confession. And then he contrasts that, where he's saying, nevertheless, when they shall, or it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, when the mind shall turn to the Lord. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Instead of looking wherever we look and saying, how does this apply to me, or how can I use this, wherever you look, you see only Christ. You don't look, you're no longer looking in the mirror. You're looking through the mirror to see him. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy, we faint not. You don't quit in your mind for any reason, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now that means total openness, total honesty. You're an integer. There's one. There's not two things going on in you anymore. There's not two different. Adam is dead finally, or the evil one is ignored, is a better way of saying it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 5, and we are servants. And a servant, bond servant, has no rights. He can be misused, mistreated, and he doesn't defend himself. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Now these vessels are made of clay, but they're not clay that has been even in a kiln yet. It's a broken vessel. It's chips in it, it holes in it. And that those are caused by the tribulation that you must needs go through. So you no longer glory in some success you have. You glory in the tribulation.
Yeah.
And this is total. Your mind is not capable of doing that. Your mind, even the best of us, our mind wants us to glory when there is some success, because we're giving God the credit. No, yeah, it didn't work that way. God isn't, he is not of the prosperity gospel. He's pleased when we're broken. He's pleased when we're going through tribulation. He's pleased when we lay our lives down for others without regard to ourselves. He's pleased when we can truly say that thing from the Didache, which is part of the vow of poverty. Whatever I need that you need to use, you can use. Whatever you need that I have, you can have. And whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. That's the servant's position. But anyway, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us. And in the verb tense, it's death continually worketh in us. It doesn't stop. And I've tried and hoped and prayed that this way of it being wasn't true in me, but I well, that's another story.
So these whole things are like God's definition of success.
That's right.
You want to talk about success?
Yeah. It reminds me of the contrast when Peter and took the disciples fishing and they caught fish, and that's not what it was about.
Amen. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And this is part of this is why this scripture is so important. It's part of the Hallel. He quotes it. He says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And it's written in the Hallel. I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. If you don't believe it, you won't speak it. If you believe it, you can't help but speak it. And what do you speak? What do you cry? All flesh is as grass. You can't help it. You may need to be reminded periodically. And all the glory of man is as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. But we want the glory to mean the same thing it means to Adam, to the Gentiles. We want the proof of God's existence to solve our problems. No! The proof of God's existence in us is suffering. But without complaint, without thinking it should be different. We, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, or in Jesus, or with Jesus, or of Jesus, and shall present us with you, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. And remember, faint means to quit in your mind. We faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inner man, inward man, is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. I can testify of this one. For our light affliction. Now he calls his light affliction being beaten with 39 stripes at least twice, being shipwrecked, having the most hideous situation with his eye where it was constantly oozing pus. And he called that his light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, so there's never any excellency about us. We are broken vessels, and praise God if your deals aren't coming to pass, if you're losing money, whatever the issue, then the Spirit of God comes, and finally you can understand what he says, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven, because you have confessed him. That means you think the same thing he thinks, you speak the same thing he speaks, and you see the same thing he sees. That's what confess means. But we all want to believe in the prosperity gospel. That's why it's so popular. We all want God to fix our kids. We want them to have our business successful. We want everything we think about to happen. But listen, Listen, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He's only doing one thing, and he's revealing Christ. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin, not because of what they do, but because who they are, and righteousness, because the prince of the world is right, of judgment and then righteousness. Judgment. No more judging whether the world crap, it's meaningless. The only judgment that's true is that the prince of this world has been judged, found guilty, and destroyed. And the only righteousness is that he's gone to the Father. Our minds have to be in communication. We have to see the same thing in order that we can confess the same thing. Go to Romans 10. This is the message that has to be aired somehow to the world. Romans 10. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Verse 6. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is near, nigh, it's here, near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe that in thy heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You confess him, you can't help it, because you believe. If you don't believe, that's fine. But don't pretend you believe. You can't try to go and speak. If you speak, it's because you believe it. I promise you, I tried not to speak it. Do you understand? We are meant to be broken vessels. Not examples for somebody of how to be successful. The world has people 10,000 times more successful than anything we could be. We are attracted, people are attracted because we glory in tribulation. We are broken vessels that he may be revealed. That's why confession is so critical. We talked about the confession this morning about the profession of who he is. But the confession of sin, they go hand in hand. It's the same word.
Yeah, it's like it covers this whole range of everything.
Yeah.
Everything from the center of who you are out to the whole world that you're looking at is speaking the same thing as God is that's what covers
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
So if you see, you know, if you're speaking the gospel to somebody, it's also the same as in your heart, you know, seeing where you're off the track, going, you know, falling off a cliff. It's like to acknowledge that is the same as preaching the gospel. It's also one.
Amen. They're one and the same.
Reality.
Right. It's the only reality. It's the only thing that stands the test of truth. To the world, you're a fool. But we try to cover it up a little bit. We try to put makeup on them so we can convince our relatives of something that we're doing something really good. There is nothing good. The preaching of the cross is a monstrous offense to your mind. So let's start the confession. Especially the what's going on in this beast we call the mind. I didn't ever before realize that the word for confession or sin and confession of the faith were the same word. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't, you know, it didn't hit me like it did yesterday.
Say that sentence again. The word for confession
of sin and the profession of faith is the same word.
So confession and profession.
What's that? Homologia.
No, it's homologio in Greek. It means to confess or profess Jesus, or confessing is your life. But it also means a confession of sin.
Yeah,
and its root means you say the same thing, homologio. And it's the same word in Hebrew, yada, yada. It means confession of sin and confession of faith, or profession of faith. That isn't an accident. Now, it's my fault that we're not doing this.
I think we are doing it.
Well,
we should continue to do it.
I mean, do it with some intensity. There's a lot of people that are afraid to confess what's going on within them.
Now, if you're preaching the gospel, you are automatically saying, I am a sinner, there's nothing worthy at all in me.
Amen.
And so if you say, while you're saying that, this is what's cool to me about this thing. It's like, if I'm explaining what it is that's unworthy in me, I am actually preaching the gospel at that point.
Amen.
You know, it's all one thing. That's the thing that you're...
You stop the acting. There's no more... You're not one thing inside and another thing outside. You're the same. And sometimes it's going to be just terrible. You'll think you'll be hated, despised. And you will by the world. But by true believers, you'll be embraced and glory in it, and help you glory in it. And people will be upset and leave. Any response? Any more response?
Yeah, I agree that true believers are attracted to the cross. It's endemic. You're not a believer if you're not seeking something greater than yourself, and in that willing to set yourself aside.
Well, it's not just greater than yourself. You're out of the picture. I'm number two. No, you don't exist. We're not going to go put up "I'm number two" bumper stickers. Or yeah, we could put up "I'm number two." If we put what explained that there's a number one there too. All right.
I am second. That's what you're referring to.
Right.
The campaign.
Well, that's second means number two.
Yeah, know. But that's.
But you explained.
I'm just thinking that somebody listening on the radio may not get your connection of what you're.
We're not on the radio.
I am second.
We are this beast called the internet.
Yeah. Second.
All right. By your silence, everybody's agreed. There's no private interpretation.
Not private. Universal. I'm not buying your little phrase there. That's what I'm saying.
What phrase?
The phrase of "by your silence you're convicted."
Oh.
Just want to make it clear.
Well, if you don't, I mean, that's what the word "amen" is.
By my silence, you're agreeing. It's my
Take it big guy, quickly.